Hi, and welcome to an action-packed, awesome episode of China on the Rocks. My name is Logan. I'm joined by my doers-wearing co-host.
Hi, guys. Anna here.
And Anna, what you up to today? What's going on?
Well, apart from recording the podcast.
Well, what's important? Recording the podcast, you're going for a walk. I mean, you've had a big day.
Yeah, I drank a lot of coffee, hanging out with the homies.
Have you recovered from last weekend?
Oh, I did, but it took a while. How were your feet?
My knees were so sore. I went to the gym on Monday, and then I had to stretch my knees out real good on Tuesday, and then I'm back to reality.
Yeah, we're back to reality. So we had a crazy 3 days working for this amazing market called Feast.
Yeah, that was crazy. It was super fun. That started on Friday of last week. Last week being May 30th. First, May 31st, June 1st, June 2nd. So that was super fun. It was a kickoff into June and our first festival that I think we've worked together, right?
Yeah, actually, a first festival. And you know what we should do to both celebrate and kick off the episode?
What are we doing, Anna?
We're having a shot.
Shot of what?
Oh, that's a good question, Logan. So Logan surprised me today with a chili-shaped bottle, which apparently is spicy tequila. I kid you not, the whole bottle is red in the shape of like a chili pepper, and it has like the green cap, and it's all made of glass, and it's called Chile Caliente.
Chile Caliente.
And it's an añejo tequila, apparently. 100% de agave. So it's actually good stuff. And, well,
I don't play around when it comes to China on the Rocks.
By the bottle. And I have no idea how it tastes like, so let's try.
Yeah, it's really good. So the nice thing about this new season is we have somebody doing marketing. So shout out to Cheryl. We will have an Instagram post up and Facebook. I promise, I think, this time.
We are like two boomers. We're like, you talk about the social medias, we just don't do them. Well, you'll see the bottle. It's amazing. It's the type of bottle you'll keep on your shelf after because it's just...
It's a cool bottle.
That's a cool bottle.
I've had it for about a year. It's super cool, and I thought this is the best time to use it. It's June. Let's get caliente.
The caliente. Cheers.
Cheers. Okay. So first impressions.
It's less spicy than I thought.
Yeah.
It's more tequila-ish than I thought. It's all right. I mean, it's I think I was expecting it to be so hot. I was expecting it to be like chili caliente. And it's just like a tiny little hint of some chili. And it just tastes like an añejo tequila, yeah.
It tastes like an añejo, but it's interesting. Like last week, I went out on Monday of last week. I went out with some guys that are importing tequila to China. They have a big company in London. They're based in England, but they're doing Mexican imports, and they're bringing the next move is Asia. And we went to Atelier Number 3, and it was very interesting. We were looking at some of the top añejo tequilas, and I'm not going to name names because I don't want to name and shame, but they were saying, oh, this one has sugar in it. Oh, that one has sugar in it. Oh, that one has sugar in it.
Yeah, there isn't an allowed amount, and I forgot how many grams. There's a certain grammage per liter that you allow to add caramel or sugar. I mean, I don't care. Casamigos is one of those. I'll name the names. Casamigos is known for being very caramel, sugar, kind of, they go to the limit that's allowed. And other tequilas, I don't like personally, but this is the hot take.
Hot take.
Hot take, yeah. If people like it, and it's true that people like it, a lot of people like that flavor. I'm also not going to be the tequila police here. Like, it's within the regulation where... it's just enough to get a little sweeter, but you still have the taste of the agave. You still taste, you know, the tequila, and give the people what they want, you know? I'm not going to fight over it.
Well, I mean, the thing I thought about is when we have this tequila, I do taste some sugar now that I know what to look for.
I was so taken aback out of my expectations because I expected spicy. So I prepared myself for spicy that I didn't pay attention on the rest because I was just like bracing. I'm like, oh my God, the bottle is a chili pepper. So it's going to be hot. It's not.
I have a little bit of heat, like a little residual back heat, but nothing crazy.
It's so little though. I almost feel like, don't get me wrong. I'm sorry if the producers out there are listening. The bottle is cooler than the product. I almost feel like to do this has to be a little more spicy, has to be a little more, at least a flavor, more jalapeno or something. Like it's very mild, very mild.
Yeah, it's very mild. But I mean... Our weekend wasn't mild.
It was definitely not mild. Look at that. Segway king over here.
I try. Heavy is the head that wears the crown of the Segways.
So let's talk about the marketing in general. So what was your favorite parts and what other parts that you'd say like?
Okay, so basically for us, we had to be there, and we're going to include a ton of pictures this time. We had to be there on Friday around 10:30 in the morning to set up, which we're very fortunate. Brian and his team from High Seas really took charge and just did the coolest booth I think I've seen ever.
Cooler, and also just the way they organize it, it's brilliant. Like, you have already the staff working the market for crazy hours. Hire somebody extra to help with the setup. It takes so much stress out of us.
Yeah.
The people working the whole day, because it's still 12-hour shift, right?
Yeah, these were long shifts. So the event started at noon. We got there about 10:30 the first day to set up. And most of it was set up, thankfully. Cody and the uncle were just knocking it out of the park. And Brian actually surprised us with these big, full barrels of whiskey.
Yeah, when we're talking full barrels, guys, we're not talking the mini ones, the little ones. We're talking real ones from the distillery. Real barrels are aging. Full size, filled with booze.
Yeah, it was such a cool touch. And then we had a full-on bar. By noon, we were ready to go, but then it started raining on Friday.
Yeah, it was brutal. But it still got a little, for a Friday, still a little busy considering that it's a work day.
Yeah,
it was raining.
Yeah, we got a little bit of traction. Like, we had a couple friends that were crushing these. So we made this really cool rum tiki daiquiri that we put in the frozen margarita.
I don't even know if I'll call it daiquiri. Maybe like a Mai Tai mix with pina colada, something like that. Yeah,
Mai Tai colada.
A tiki drink.
And that was super fun. So we had a lot of people crushing those. We were doing a couple drinks. We weren't going that heavy till about Friday night, which you kind of expect.
Yeah. I'm actually surprised because our expectations were so different. Like, we pre-batch all the frozen drinks. So we had two big margarita machines, right? The frozen ones, like the slushy machines. And we packed for 6 or 8 tanks. Like, the tank is around 6 liters, I think. So we prepared. We had this all pre-batched. And we finished them by midday Saturday. And we're just like, damn, we have to make more on the spot.
Yeah, Friday night, super fun. Enough people were coming through. Our booth, we were very fortunate. I think we were probably one of the busier booths. Feast was really set along this like long path in Sin and Mansions. And we were at the end kind of by the DJ booth. And so the DJ was really funny because he was a guy named Kenny who had met me in a different feast event. And he was the DJ across from the bar that time as well. And so he knew if I just gave him shots, he would DJ more. Until we gave him too many shots, and then he started playing sad music.
I'll say, like,
Kenny powered down.
Yeah. For me, my pros were, yeah, I think that...
I'm just saying on Friday.
Oh, we just, break it you're down going by day, you're yeah. going through day? Okay. Yeah, I think that... But I will say it's across the whole thing. I think the Camden social supply team, Maisie, all the girls did an incredible job. Like, the booths were pretty well organized. There were maps, there were organization of bathrooms, the whole supplier, there was everything was so well done. Briefings. I think when it comes to like event organization, they were pro. They were so on top of like ice and fridges and breakdowns and security. Like, it was
incredible. Well done, yeah.
Kudos to the girls. My only thing was that, yeah, the music was different in the place is really long, so there's the front part and the back part. And I feel like in front was party music, and we got a lot of elevator jazz for a while.
Yeah.
So I'll be honest.
But then we had our own speakers out, and we just kind of made our own party.
Yeah. But apart from that, like, the rest was really, really well done.
Yeah, I thought it was super fun. I mean, we'll definitely do it again. But, like, Friday night, we were packed. We were having a good time. We didn't get drunk. But we had a lot of customers that were getting drunk. The nice thing is it stopped at around 10. The power went out about 10:30. Like, they cut the power.
Yeah.
And then you're there. That's it. That's the end of the day. You kind of clean up. We put tarps over everything. And we scooted out till Saturday.
Yeah.
And Saturday, I was tired. We were exhausted.
I was okay. Sunday was the day that I was exhausted. Saturday, I was fine. I was fine Saturday. Saturday was chill. Saturday was a party. Yeah, people were drinking. It was a big day. Some of the highlights. Let's talk about the other vendors, too. Like, I think that there were so many incredible, like, food opportunities and drink opportunities there too. A lot of wine. We were the only, not the only, us and another vendor were doing cocktails, but everybody else was basically doing mostly wine, beers, and a lot of ice cream this time. A
lot of ice cream, which made sense if you would have thought like it would have been warm, but unfortunately it was like a weird cold weekend. That wasn't hot at all. It wasn't cold. It wasn't hot. Saturday even wasn't that warm.
Okay, I disagree. Sunday was really hot. We had to tarp up the top of the thing to get like some shade because it was too hot. Yeah, it was weird because we got all the weather. It's like Friday was a bit cool and chill. Saturday was normal. And then Sunday was hot. Like it was a 3-day. But I would say this guy is from Guy Suli. They are a restaurant here in Shanghai. They were making the chili oil ice cream.
That was great.
And that was bomb. And also, we always talk about Baijiu here. The Motai was there.
Yeah, the Motai was really cool.
The company, they had an ice cream shop in, like, not part of the market. They had that permanently. They have an ice cream shop.
Yeah, I liked
it. Yeah, I had the Motai ice cream. Was great. And the girls that do the cocktail ice creams.
Yeah, they were there. They were kind of far. Lauren and that crew.
Yes. They were delicious. They gave us some little, like, sample, this little tubs of ice cream, and they were all, like, different cocktails.
Yeah, they gave it to me on Sunday night, and at that point, I just couldn't anymore.
Yeah, they were really, really good. Like, they had a old-fashioned dark chocolate ice cream. They had a kind of Negroni gelato, which was really good. Like, everything was great.
I mean, there was really cool stuff. Like, the booth, so next to High Seas, we had a Tacalicious booth.
Which was great, delicious tacos.
That was super fun. Like, we were slammed. Even on Friday, we were slammed. Like, that was legitimately a lot of hard work. And this is just something, if you guys have a booth, if you do markets, be proactive. Don't just sit behind your booth and play on your phone and then complain that you don't have sales. Like, we literally, every time I'm in front of the booth or somebody else is in front of the booth,
harass people.
Not harassing people, answering questions, talking to people. I mean, you have to get the people excited at your product. If you're not excited at your product, who's going to give a shit about you?
Yeah. No, I'm joking because I'm the person where somebody's walking by. I'm like, hey, come for a drink.
Yeah. But you have to. And that's why people came. That's why we were, I think, some of the busier booths. Then next to us was this really cute little ice cream thing. And these girls had this cute like ice cream press. And they take ice cream and they put it through a thing. It looked like you ever have like... those Play-Doh mold things as a kid.
Yeah.
And had like the squiggly, it looked like pasta that
noodles,
come out.
Yeah.
Like noodles. It was so cool. The flavors weren't my taste, but I really loved the execution of it.
Oh, I liked it. But they were also like, I'll send this photo to put on Instagram too, guys. I need to see. I never seen cake decorating to that level. So the girls are also cake decorators. And they were showcasing. They make out of icing these flowers that looked like real flowers.
Yeah, they totally is it caked me.
Oh, they were like... incredible. So
that was super cool.
Yeah. And I think on that note too, we had a lot of presentations on stage. And
That's not for this segment of the show, but we definitely had a fun presentation that I will go into detail.
Yeah,
with.
We'll tell the horror story in a few minutes. But
I had a horror story.
Logan was on stage giving a class on making martinis.
And yeah, we'll go into the whole detail on that a little bit. Otherwise, we're the cat's out of the bag on that one. But I mean, there was some cool presentations. There was, I don't know if you saw them, but there was these chefs that did this whole like Blue Man Group drum thing.
I did not. No, because we were in the other half of the like pavilion thing, so we couldn't see the where the stage was. I'll say, cool idea. Something innovative that I've seen is Led's by Chris. I forgot his name. Is basically a bunch of chefs got together and kind of with Chris.
Oh, made, Led's,
like, Led's, right? So what I really liked that I thought was interesting is that they took the booth, and instead of having just like a table where they sell things, they put chairs and they created this long chef's table. So even though it's a market, you could sit there and actually have a sit-down meal in their couple booths.
Yeah, it was very fine dining for what it was. It was very interesting, you know?
Very interesting, because I feel like if you were the whole day drinking, walking around, you want to sit down and have a meal, you can. And it was...
Yeah.
They had like maybe like 10 seats, but like you were sitting at the chef's table and they were just cooking and giving the food right in front of you. And they made like, fine dining.
Yeah, it was fine dining. The food I had was very tasty. The other tasty food was the Goodman Burger. That was fantastic.
Yeah, friends, the homies, I'm not going to list all of them, but they own also, well, some of them, they're involved in a lot of projects. So they're involved in Bastard here in Shanghai. They're involved in Yaya's Pasta, which, by the way, both incredible restaurants. They decided to open a very small, very simple burger shop called Goodman, where they do just smash burgers. And when I mean simple, I mean they're really good at what they do, and that's all they do, right? So they have a vegetarian burger, and then it's just smash burgers. That's it. But the burgers are out of this world.
Yeah, they were legit. Like, I had mine hot, and then I think you had yours kind of cold, right?
Oh, I had the night before.
Oh, you had the night before as well?
It was my second Goodman on that market.
And then they had these things. There was another booth called Momo that had Momos, which are like these Nepali dumplings.
Yes, Nepalese dumplings, which usually, there would be beef or lamb, because, not all of them eat pork, right? So they're a little bit different from the Chinese.
Super, super good ones. Like they had this yak cream on it that was very tasty.
It's not yak cream. He's making this up.
It's chili yak cream.
Making this up. There was like a roasted paprika sauce. Yeah,
it was
like
roasted
creamy.
Paprika. It was very, very tasty. With Logan, some, but with butter in it though.
Yeah. But Logan is telling everybody this yak cream and it's like, no, it's not.
Well, they didn't sit with it. You can make yak cream from butter. I mean, you can get butter from yak cream.
Sure, but I think it was regular butter.
I think they got a Bigfoot and they milked it.
No, definitely a great market. Thumbs up. I would definitely do it again. I think we had a lot of fun.
We have another market. Actually, we did such a fun time that we have another market coming up next weekend. So the 15th and the 16th. And then the 22nd and 23rd, we'll be at Shintendi, behind Shintendi, and we'll be doing Latin Land.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah, we have to make some like more tropical style cocktails, I feel, you know?
And it's going
to
be a hot weekend, so yeah.
It's going to be a hot, hot weekend. We'll also have Father's Day coming up, so that's a whiskey weekend. June is a busy weekend.
Busy month, yeah.
Everything's a weekend if you do it right.
All right, so I can't wait anymore. We need to jump to the horror stories.
Okay, let's jump to the horror story. So if we jump to the horror story, we have to take a horror story pause.
Horror stories.
Okay, so this had never happened to me before.
Yeah, so I wasn't watching because I was manning the bar as Logan comes back and he's giggling and he's just telling me, I just have a horror story.
Yeah, I was so excited I had a horror story.
And then he goes to tell me the story. So I'll let Logan take charge on this one.
So I was fortunate enough to be asked to host a cocktail class and a shaking class up on the main stage over at Feast last weekend. And last Saturday, I taught everybody about whiskey. We had this beautiful whiskey tasting. I had some friends up. We were talking about the different high seas distillers' whiskeys and what sets them apart and what makes them very unique. And everybody's enjoying themselves. And I was like, okay, next, guys, we have some high seas vodka and some high seas gin. Let's show you how to shake a martini, because not everybody knows how to shake a martini. And so I was showing them how to do it with a Boston shaker. I should have used the Milano, but I used a Boston shaker. A Boston shaker is usually what you see, like the two pieces that clip together. And a Milano is a three-piece shaker.
Well, we could have thought ahead and brought a tin-on-tin as well, yeah. Right? So a Boston shaker, one piece of it is a pint, an American pint, so like the big glass. And the other side is the metal. That used to be the standard back in the day. And because accidentally, either through washing or just for being in a business ship, sometimes they break, people have changed over the years to tin and tin, which means that both pieces are made out of tin. So
yeah.
Both pieces are metal. But I think that we were kind of in a hurry when we were packing and we just grabbed Boston shakers on the go because that's what they were around us. So Logan had this Boston shakers, which we didn't think much of it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm also old school, so I'm used to the glass, but tin on tin is fine for the new generation. But I was showing these guys, I showed like five or six people how to make these shake martinis. We're having a fun time. Everybody's shaking. We're kind of doing like a shaking contest. But like everybody's having such a great time. And I call somebody from the audience, and there is video. I call somebody from the audience, and the guy was very nervous. And I was like, don't be nervous. We're going to show you how to shake. One of my panel members, who wasn't a bartender but was an enthusiast, we were showing how to shake. And when you shake a cold drink, the metal in the tin contracts, so it gets tighter around the glass. So what you have to do is kind of brace from the back of it and give it a smack. But you have to smack the metal, not the glass. Very, very important. And I kept telling the guy, metal, not glass, metal, not glass.
Yeah, because you want to squeeze the metal, basically, to release that vacuum that's holding it together. You want some air. It's kind of like opening a jar. When you're opening the top, you kind of want some air to come in, and then it opens easily. Same thing.
Same exact thing. And this guy did not do that. Instead of smacking the metal, he karate chopped the glass. Like he was in sixth grade, and it was Taekwondo wood breaking.
And the glass?
It broke on every single person on the dais.
It exploded.
It was all the whiskey wasted, all the ice burnt. Everything we had on that table, we had a toss. There's broken glass everywhere. Thankfully, nobody got hurt. We all laughed about it. The guy actually redeemed himself later, so we have a video of that as well.
But we do have the video of the glass exploding, yeah. Which is hilarious.
I was the MC of it. I was like, yep, thank you very much, guys. That was our martini class, and we are done for the day. Go check us out in the back. We are high seas. And that was my F&B horror story.
Yep. I don't even have much to say because I watched the video after because I didn't see live and it was pretty hilarious, to be honest. I think it's because he's trying to open for a little bit. He's getting frustrated and he just goes to this little punch, but instead of punching the metal, he just goes straight in the glass and the glass just chaotic. Shatters.
Now, it was pretty intense. But that leads us to another segment then, Anna. At Feast, we talked about the chili oil ice cream and everything. What have you been up to? What have you been drinking?
Oh, the drinks I've been drinking. So,
these are the drinks.
So for the drinks I've been drinking, I think we need to talk about our menu at Feast because it was really good.
Yeah, it was great. I think people really got into it.
I think that making a tiki drink was really, really like good, I think, especially for the summer. And also, that came to my mind. I think that a lot of people still in Shanghai, and I think in a lot of places in America too, maybe not New York, but a lot of other places, when people see a frozen drink, they kind of expect artificial syrup, just that syrupy thing, very sweet, very simple flavors. And I think we decided to just do a really good cocktail when people really, really liked it. So for people at home, if you try to make, you can also do it at in a blender. You can put some ice and blend it. So we did white rum. Can be dark rum as well. We just wanted to showcase the white rum. Pineapple juice, orgeat syrup, which is a almond syrup, chocolate bitters, lime, and that's it. And that's like the cinnamon. Water. And cinnamon, yeah.
Cinnamon syrup.
Yeah, and that's it. And then we added all the water and all that for it to freeze. We served it with a slice of roasted pineapple, and it was bomb. It was crushable, fire. Was delicious, wasn't too sweet, it was very rummy. And it went a long way. We also made...
On Sunday, actually, it was so funny. We were running out, and people would be waiting.
Oh, yeah. People were later like, is it frozen yet? Is it frozen? I'm like, no, it's a new batch. Please wait. It's a very hot day. That's how I know it's hot. It wasn't freezing fast enough. We also made we talked before here on the show, a gin and tonic with pineapple and mint.
That's why we had the roast pineapple anyway. So we wanted to use the same stuff in the drinks for garnishes. We didn't want to waste anything.
Yeah. And then we made a lemongrass mule, which is just like vodka, lemongrass syrup, lime, and ginger beer, and it was another crushable. It was a little bit sweeter, so for the people that like a little sweeter drinks, because everything else was, you know, toned down, but yeah. It was really bomb, and I had a lot of fun, but I think that the frozen drink was, like, top for me.
Yeah, the frozen drink really, really was fire, and then, I mean, then we did highballs, so we weren't doing anything hard. Like, people were like, oh, what can you mix for me? I'm like, here.
Yeah, we wanted to make it simple, because we know how markets are. They get busy. It gets tiring. Also, you don't have a sink. You don't have a place to dump or to wash. So making like actual shaken cocktails becomes, they're fine for the first few hours. And then you have sticky things everywhere. You have dirt everywhere. You're not really being able to like produce them properly. So unless you have them fully pre-batched and you're just putting them on ice, stir, stir, serve, you're not really shaking in a market.
Yeah. I mean, you could, like the upper room was shaking across from us, but... you can only do so much shaking. Pre-batch is the way to go. And we've talked about this on previous episodes. Pre-batch, pre-batch, pre-batch for festivals and stuff like that.
Yeah, even add the water already, the dilution, so you just have to put over ice. Like, that's, for me, that's the way to go. But, yeah, Logan, what drinks have you been drinking?
So, today is June the 6th. Happy D-Day. And I'm actually doing a Prosecco event tomorrow. So there's a Prosecco Nation event I'm doing. And so they asked me to create a Prosecco... I can't even think about the word. What's the name of the classicest cocktail in the world? Old Fashioned. that's how old my brain is. A Prosecco Old Fashioned. So what I did with it was we used the High Seas X Bourbon Barrel Whiskey as our base. It's also sponsored by Fabry, this event tomorrow. So it's Prosecco and Fabry. Prosecco, just in case you didn't know, could only be from Italy. Something people think sparkling wine and Prosecco are the same, but they are definitely not. But so it was ex-bourbon barrel whiskey, 5 ml of Fabry syrup, bitters, both Angostura and orange, and then stir, stir, stir with a big ice cube, top with some Prosecco and an orange twist that you flame and some rosemary for color and aroma.
I'm not opposed to it, but it sounds to me like, you know, when we have a Negroni Spagliato, so you have the Negroni topped up with basically Prosecco. It feels like that, or like a French 74, like French 75, 74. Damn, moving the years.
Yeah.
French 75, or like the classic, like the champagne cocktail. Like it's kind of like a mishmash of all of these.
Yes, well, it's called the new school. You should get used
to
it.
No, but it just feels like really boozy.
I was down with the new stuff before you were.
It just feels very
French 74. I think French 74 actually should be.
It's one level down. Is when we use sparkling wine, not champagne. You know, like no, because it has a. It just sounds very boozy to me.
Well, I mean, I don't play games here. I'm making drinks, you know? Like, it's definitely a boozy cocktail. Like, that's why I'm drinking Coca-Cola now and not drinking hard.
But, okay.
So that's the drinks I've been drinking.
Checkmate, atheist. Yeah. Got it.
In your face. That's why I have Coca-Cola and iced tea, actually, because now I'm tired from drinking my cocktail creation. What else is going on, Anna?
Well, but for the next events coming up,
What are you thinking for drinks for that next event?
So we're gonna do something shooting from the hip. So I'm thinking if we're gonna do something Latin, we're gonna focus on those flavors as well. I think pineapple cinnamon's a big one. Yep. Like those two things. I think maybe we can do something chili, something fresh. Everything's gonna have lime. Everything's gonna be super tropical, super fresh, icy. It's also gonna be really hot.
So mango.
Yeah, mangoes are just hard to handle in the kind of high environment.
We could get some
right?
mango sodas. We could mess around. We could have some good times.
Yeah, some tahini and everything. Yeah. A little chili, a little paprika, a little salt. Actually, that's one of the things that I like about Latin drinks too. A lot of drinks have an element of like salt that balance out really well, especially on a hot day. Definitely lots of pineapple. And I'm looking forward. I like fresh drinks. I think that. Okay, unless you're talking about the real classics here, right? Your martinis, your Negronis, your old fashions. Apart from that, I always navigate to sour drinks.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, I don't really like...
I don't like sweet too much.
Yeah, if I see on the menu something that sounds really smoky or really bitter or really like boozy, I usually don't go for that unless it's a classic.
Yeah, heard.
So down for the fresh, down for the summer.
Yeah, I mean, I hope with the beats and everything, it should be good. I mean, it should be a great party. I'm not looking for anything but a good time. I think we'll be a little sunburnt. I think we'll be tired, but a good tired. You know, like when you worked hard, you feel good.
And also, this one is 2 days. So,
yeah,
hey.
It's 2 days, thankfully. We'll see what time it starts, too, because it's a Latin party. It might start like at 5 p.m. Oh, my God.
I doubt it. It's going to start like 9 a.m.
Oh, goodness. No. Well, I mean, Anna, I think we've come to the end of our episode. We've covered a big, big chunk of our week last week.
Yes, it's a short episode today, but I feel like our entire week was either preparing or working a feast. So I feel it's appropriate that that's what we're talking about. And we'll come up with fresh, awesome new content for next week.
Thank you guys very much for listening. As always, give us a like and subscribe.
And check our Instagram up. Apparently, somebody's posting for us now.
Cheers, everybody. Thank you for listening to another episode of China on the Rocks. We out.
Bye.